Last time we got together, which was a long, long time ago, we was on part 27, and I'm just going to go over some of those bullet points, refresh our memory, and then get back into tonight's teaching. But part 27, we said this: faith will make you battle ready. Faith will make you battle ready. How many of y'all have been living some of these bullet statements, some of these faith statements I've been telling you? It usually happens once you learn something, then you go through the test for it. Come on now, you don't learn it so you can just be Mrs. and Mr. Know-it-all. You hear it so you can go through it. So faith will make you battle ready. Having faith pays huge dividends. It really does. And faith will qualify you despite your outward appearance. Somebody ought to run around and say, "That's me." I mean, you know, because some of us are not the prettiest pumpkin in the patch, but we're in the patch. Amen. And we're in the family of God. But faith will qualify you. There's been so many people on the earth that have walked with God that it seems impossible that God would use them. It would seem ridiculous that God would use them. You just look at the entire flunkies that Jesus hired as disciples. I mean, think about it. One day I'll go through the whole category of all these dudes, and their resume stinks. They really did. I mean, you got one guy to cut a man's ear off. That would be called a felon, wouldn't it? Attempted murder in some places. God can use anybody, and that's the whole point of it. So faith will qualify you. And then faith looks for a fight. Faith looks for a fight. Fear avoids confrontations. Faith looks for a fight. Again, not physically, not to be cankerous and brash with everybody, but faith doesn't sit back and let things happen. Faith goes for it. If faith sees an injustice happening in a community or in a people, in a family or wherever, faith goes after it. Faith doesn't sit there and allow someone to be ravaged with sickness and disease and mildly malfunction. Faith stands up and says, "Let me pray for you. Let me lay hands on you. Let me cast that thing off of you. Let me cast that thing out of you." But fear says, "Oh, don't bother them. Oh, please, don't bother. They don't want to hear your prayers." How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You got to silence fear with faith. So we went to 1 Samuel 17, and we're talking about Goliath and his brothers. They were the remnant of the giants. So God had a deal here. He had a situation with David. He was going to use David to destroy the last of the giants. Because remember, there was Goliath, and then he had four brothers. And it was time to get rid of the giants in the land, and this was the plan of God. So God raised up little David. Amen. And God is raising you up. He's raising me up to get rid of the giants in our land, the giants in our lives. All of us have giants. We have to face those giants. And you're going to only face those giants with faith. Amen. And everybody has them. I said everybody has them, but you have to destroy them. So we went in and we talked about his armament, somewhere around 208 pounds is what I have here. Just a massive man. Some scholars say, according to the biblical weights of the time, he was at least 13 feet tall. That's a big dude. I've been in some situations where I've looked up to some people before in a confrontation, but never 13 feet tall. Wow. I mean, what did we decide? This ceiling's 12 foot? Well, how do you do? That's huge. So imagine that. We talked about his spear, his shield, all these different things. Amazing. Verse 16, we talked about twice a day for 40 days, Goliath is mocking and he's totally nagging. You know, the devil's a nagger. Let me try that again. The devil is a nagger. He likes to nag. He likes to chew. He just continuously bites. And I'm not belittling the devil or his power, but there's a reality that he does something constantly to wear you down. It's like running water or dripping water. I'd rather have the water running than dripping. You ever try to fix the faucet or lay in bed and that keeps... That's like the devil. He likes to do that to us. And even though it seems like it's something small, after a while it becomes pretty aggravating, doesn't it? And then what really hurts is when you compromise and you just ignore it and say, well, that's just background noise. I don't care about that. No, deal with it and go get a plumber. Is anybody here? So for 40 days, man, he just continued to do that. Nobody did anything about it. Again, if you let the devil hang out, he'll move in. I always like watching that Mucinex commercial with that little dude who likes to get in the lungs. He's like, yeah, let's go. You know, he's getting his little fat buddies and they're all hanging out and they're kicking their feet up, right? That's the devil. I laugh because I go, that's what the devil does. Get you some Holy Ghost Mucinex and get them on out. Amen. And this is not a commercial for Mucinex, by the way, but it's a good product. Someone will write to me and say, you know what's in that? No, I don't. I really don't know. Okay. So verse 25, having faith pays huge dividends. What did he get? You get great riches. You get the king's daughter. I don't know how well that was, but you get the king's daughter. That might be a deficit. I don't know. Making his father free from taxes and exempting his sons and daughters from service. So that's pretty good. And then we talked about proving that he was a youth by verse 28. Verse 29. So let's go to verse 29 for tonight. Can we move forward? Let's do that. I think you all got it pretty good for that one day off. Let's go to verse 29. And this is where we left off last time. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a call? So his brother's really mad at him because he thinks he's over there as a little youth, getting involved and seeing the war and wanting to hang around and just do all those things that a youthful person would do out of curiosity. And that was far from the truth. He was on assignment to do what his daddy wanted him to do, and that was go feed his brothers some snacks. Is that right? He was an errand boy. So he obeyed. He did what he was supposed to do. He sees all this commotion. He hears all the things that are happening, and his faith starts to become alive. See, when a person of faith hears things that are going on, that faith becomes alive in order to bring an answer or to resolve a situation or to bring a solution. That's what faith really does. Faith looks, again, looks for a confrontation, looks for a fight, looks for a battle, and then it comes in and brings the solution or the answer. But to sit back and not get involved is not the right thing. So he says, is there not a cause? In other words, look what's happening around you, brother. Look what's happening around you, Israel. This enemy is blaspheming God. He's defying you. He's saying all kinds of nasty stuff, cursing you, hollering at you for 40 days, twice a day, and you're doing nothing about it. They didn't like that too much, did they? So go to the next verse. And also in that cause, he was talking about the promises of Saul. Isn't that enough to get the girl, get the money, and be tax-free? Not a bad life. And he turned from him toward another, and he spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. So he's hearing it again. Watch what he says. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. Is there not a cause? And the people answered him again after the former manner. So they explained to him again, here's the deal. Here's what you get. Here's the cause. So what's happening with David? Faith. Faith is being built on the cause. I'm about to run around this building. Faith is being built on the cause. Our faith is built on the causes of life. of the problems of life. We don't go back away from them as Christians. We go into them as Christians. Because the longer we hear it, it's not that we tolerate it. We shouldn't tolerate it. We should deal with it. Come on now. It's just like that running water. If there's a problem in our community, a problem in a family, problem in life, problem happening to ourselves, we don't let that continuous drip take place. We fix it. And that's what people of faith are supposed to do. But for so long, we haven't been taught that in church. We've been taught you hear the word, you get real fat spiritually, and you blow out the door and just float around until you get dry again. And is anybody here like that balloon? And then you want pastor to pump you right back up to back out there again. So what do you become? That's all we are, right? That's all we become. But if we go with what we've heard and what we've learned, our faith builds up for what? The battle. So when we go out there, we have the armament. We have the weaponry. That's the reason of faith. To hear these stories and to be built up on faith is not so you look smart. Because you really don't look that smart. Smiling. Amen. We don't look that smart. In fact, the Bible says that we're the foolish things that confound the wise. How are you going to fix it? By faith? Yeah, watch my faith work, man. I'm going to work this thing. So you see what's happening here? Next verse. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. So David is speaking faith. He's speaking faith. He's hearing faith. He's declaring faith. And now what happens? It goes to the king. See, if you speak words of faith will bring you promotion. Oh, man. It goes to the king. I'm not talking about King Biden or King whoever. I'm talking about the king. Now, God can use natural people. Because what you're doing in private by praying can go to your supervisor. Go to your boss man. Can go do whatever. But we're rehearsing these things before our king. Anybody with me on that? You see that principle? And they sent for him. Now watch this. Let's go ahead and let's give you some of these bullet points, faith points for now. For this teaching. Again, we're in part 28. Faith doesn't stutter. Faith doesn't stutter. You know how when people are scared, they didn't know what this is to say? Faith doesn't do that. Faith doesn't stutter. Faith speaks and speaks clearly and speaks loud when it needs to. And we're going to unpack this as we go into the teaching. True faith is never intimidated. True faith is never intimidated. You're not going to intimidate me, fear. You're not going to intimidate me, situation, circumstance. You're not going to intimidate me, sickness. You're not going to intimidate me, devil. Because true faith is never intimidated. Why? Because it's the faith of God. Now, you may be trembling on the outside. Your knees may knock together and say, I don't know if I want to do this. But internally, faith says, I'm not intimidated. I'm going to deal with this thing. I'm going to walk into that courtroom. I'm going to walk into that hospital. I'm going to walk into this situation, and I'm not going to be intimidated. It's pretty good. Here's another point. There are no age restrictions on faith. Well, I'm too young to walk by faith. No, you're not. Some of the greatest people that ever walked on the earth were young in faith. And there's been the opposite spectrum when there's been somebody like who? Caleb. Stricken in age, older, and said, hey, man, give me this mountain. I'm well able to take this thing. I think of Dr. Sumrall. I think of other great heroes of the faith, man, that were older. So there's no restrictions. People say, well, I'm in my golden years. No, you're in your rocking chair years. All you want to do is hang on the front porch of life and just rock back and forth and do nothing. And think about all the memories. Well, that God doesn't want that. If you're breathing, there's a reason. I get a shirt. There's, if you're breathing, there's a reason. I mean, there's a reason. It's not for you to get to the buffet tomorrow. Come on. You're living and breathing because God has need of you and need of me. And when we speak faith, pray faith, declare faith, it gets to the ear of the King. And then he does what? He sends for you. I need you. Did anybody catch that? I need you. I need you, Debbie. I need you, Mark. I need you. Sarah, I need you. I want to use you. Right? So faith has no restrictions. There's no age restrictions. When I was writing that down, I went into my memory. I remember going to carnivals. I used to love going to carnivals, getting on the rides. I was a daredevil. I'd ride anything. Upside down, it didn't matter. Hang me down. Let's do it. The scarier, the better. But I remember as a young boy, we used to go up there, and remember that little sign? If you're this big, you can't get on. If you're this big, you can't get on. You know what I mean? And I was thinking about that. Faith has no restrictions. It don't matter if you're big, small, tall, wide, or, you know, double wide. It don't make no difference. Just... I'm talking to myself. Just move on, right? Here you go. Faith pursues. Faith pursues. Very simple. Faith pursues. Faith pursues. Faith pursues. Faith pursues. Very easy. Okay? It's simple, but it's profound. Faith pursues. Well, what are you pursuing, man? I'm pursuing whatever God has in my life. I'm pursuing it. What are you doing today? I'm pursuing. What you doing after lunch? Pursuing. What are you doing when you get up? Pursuing. What are you going to do when you go to bed? I'm still pursuing. See, faith is always pursuing. And the time that we stop pursuing is the time we're ready for the Heavenly Gardens cemetery or whatever. We don't do that. We pursue. All right? Faith, here you go. Faith runs towards every challenge. Let's break that down a little more. Faith runs towards every challenge. Faith loves a challenge. Again, why would I back down from a challenge if I have all the answers, the power to overcome it by faith? Why would I back down? Would you? I mean, if you're a heavyweight boxer and you're the best at what you do, why would you back down? I've never seen Mike Tyson back down. I've seen him bite somebody's ear, but I've never seen him back down before. Faith runs towards every challenge. So we're going to break that down. Does that sound good? All right, so let's move on. Let's go to the next verse. We'll unpack all that together and see how much I can get done tonight. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him, Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." So here is David now going to Saul, and David is a teenager. Don't despise youth. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't allow anybody to put you down, because again, faith has no restrictions. None. It does not matter. And he said, please use your imagination for a minute. This is a teenager. This is a young person going to a king. David, far as we don't really know his stature, but I don't think he was too tall of a dude. But at least compared to Saul, he wasn't that tall, because Saul was a big man. The Bible says he was head and shoulders over all the other people of Israel. He stood out. He was one of those guys that walks in the room, you're like, wow, that's King Saul. So picture that. Here he is, and he's telling this guy, don't be afraid. Next verse. That's faith talking, isn't it? And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth." David, you can't do this. See, fear puts intimidation on you. Fear puts limitations on you. Fear limits us. Fear constrains us. Fear paralyzes us. And we all deal with fear. Fear is there. Fear is a part of our life. But David wasn't going to allow that to take place, and you and I can't do that if we're going to walk by faith. So do you see that with me? Watch this. So he said, thou art not able to go against this Philistine. You're just a little kid, and he has been at war since he was a youth. So he's got way more experience. And let me tell you something. That's what the devil will tell you. The devil will tell you that. The devil will say, look, you ain't nobody. You don't even know the Bible. You can't even quote scripture. You ain't been in church long enough. You ain't been saved long enough. You ain't been baptized. You ain't done this. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And he will paralyze you with that and keep you from the reality. And here's the thing. I'm not relying on my ability or on my longevity in God. I'm relying on the Ancient of Days, come on now, who is the God of all war. He's battled it all out. So I'm not leaning on my abilities, because if I do, I'm going to get whipped up. You're going to tear me up. So watch this. And you. Next verse. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And now watch this. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. I love this, man. This is David talking now. He's talking to the king. He said, man, I was out there with my father's sheep. Here comes a lion. Here comes a bear. Next verse. And Ben Faircloth ran the other way. Oh, wrong translation. And I went after him. What does faith do? Pursues. I went after him. Now listen, he didn't have a shotgun. He didn't have a 300 blackout. He didn't have an AR-15. He didn't have an AK-47. He didn't even have a Bowie knife, let alone a Rambo knife. And he ran after him, and he smote him, and he delivered it out of his mouth. Here's the Ben Faircloth translation. And he punched him in the mouth. That's what he did. Hey, you stinking bear, you stinking lion. Boom. Are you crazy? The last time I saw a video of a guy putting his arm in the fence to touch a tiger, he didn't have an arm. Y'all remember that? Or that lion? There was a guy down in Fort Myers. He jumps. He was cleaning the zoo, and he thought he'd just jump over the fence while nobody was there. No. That animal doesn't think you work there. He doesn't even know you work there. He thinks you're lunch. Some of y'all may remember that story. You don't do that. And smote him and delivered out of it. So he rips the thing out of his mouth, and when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and slew him. So I ripped this thing. I get my daddy's sheep back. I punch him in the face again. Then I killed him. Are you listening to me, folks? That's a bear and that is a lion. That's faith. And there was skill, obviously, because he was a great hunter and a great warrior. But he's still a teenager. And I don't know about you. I mean, I have faith. But I don't have that kind of faith. I would have to have it. It would have to be like supernatural. I'd have to hear the Lord say, attack. You know, because other than that, Miss Sarah, I'm going to hear, run. Yeah, I'm going to say, poor little sheep. Yeah. And I'm... All of a sudden, I would have started thinking, that thing needed to eat too. I mean, you know, the Lord knows. So, most Christians be like, God doesn't want me dead. He doesn't want me dead. He doesn't want me involved in that. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, next verse. Isn't that crazy? But use your imagination. Now, what is he doing? He's rehearsing his faith. I want you to see this. He's rehearsing his faith. And as he rehearses his faith, he's getting stronger in his faith. He's not necessarily trying to convince Saul. And neither is he really trying to convince himself. He's just declaring the faith that's inside of him. And as he does that, by natural or supernatural process, his faith builds up. In other words, faith builds upon faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's the way the Greek is done in context. It's talking about continuous hearing. So he's actually not just in an interview for qualification reasons. He is building his faith up. He's like, let me tell you what I did. I could just picture Saul going, wow, what do we have here? Superman, right? Super kid. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. Now, lion's bad, but a bear? Wow. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Now, okay, a bear and a lion's bad, but a 13-foot dude who's wearing 200 and almost 300-something pounds of armament? Watch what happens here. Seeing he defied the armies of the living God. His faith arose because there was a challenge against God. Your faith arises when there's a challenge against God. When there's a challenge against your life and what God has said about you. See, when you're in a battle, there's a challenge against what God said about you. If the devil says you're sick and you're going to die, and God says you're going to live and declare my words, there's a battle there. So you challenge those words against you and say, no, let me tell you what the living God and living word says about me. Now, if God promotes you, you still win. You still win. In fact, you get the ultimate winning prize. But if God has reason for you and I to be on the earth and to continue our path and our journey, fight the good fight of faith. Don't kick your heels up and let the enemy stomp all over you. Are you here? I love it, man. I love it. I love this teaching about David. What a great example. So he says, look, man, he's defiled the armies of the living God. We're going to deal with this cat. Next verse. David said, moreover, I like that moreover part because that means he just continued to talk. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. Again, what is he doing? He's repeating the victory. He's repeating the victory. Now, I've taught this before, but in Old Testament times, whenever the warriors would come back from a battle, they would have a fire, they would have a feast, and they would dance around the fire talking about how they slew their enemy, how they made a move and got them and stabbed them. And I know it sounds kind of gross, but that's what they would do because it reenacted what took place on the battlefield. It was like a celebration. And this is exactly what David is doing. He's celebrating the victories, but again, he's accelerating his faith. He's celebrating the victories, but he's accelerating his faith. And that's a very powerful statement there. Okay? He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. Go, buddy. What else is he going to say? He didn't say he went out and caught a couple butterflies and killed a couple fleas and smacked down a couple flies. You know, he did something pretty tremendous that up to this point, I haven't read anybody else that did that. Did you? I'm not aware of it. Great things happened before David, but that's pretty amazing. And Saul's like, go. Just go and do what you need to do, young man. All right, next verse. And Saul armored David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armored him with a coat of mail. What I want you to see in here in these next couple of verses is this. Walk in your anointing. It's in my notes. Write that down. Walk in your anointing. Don't try to be like somebody else. Don't try to be like fancy pants guy on TV or whatever. Don't. Be who you are. The anointing that God has given you is for you. It's special. You have a special call. Work on it. emphasize it, develop it, make that the strength of your life instead of saying, oh, I'd really like to have his anointing, or I want to have the anointing like her because she sings and everybody likes it. No. Maybe yours is greeting. Maybe yours is praying. Maybe yours is taking care of children. Whatever it is, that's your anointing. So I want you to see that. Okay? Because we know the rest of the story on this part, verse 39. So he put this on, and David girded the sword upon his armor, and he stayed to go, which means he was going to go with it. He was like, okay, I'll do it. But look here, for he had not proved it. He had not proved it. In other words, he hadn't tested it. So again, we try to go out and do things that everybody else is doing, and we never test it. I've said this many times. People hear teaching like this, they get excited, and then they try to parakeet what the pastor says, and it doesn't work for them. No, you have to prove it yourself. You have to work it out yourself. You can't just repeat it. You got to go do it. Repeating it helps, and it builds your faith, but you actually got to go out and do it. Okay? How many of y'all have noticed since this teaching, your faith has been challenged? Something has come up for this teaching to fit in there. That's what it is. This is the testing grounds. That's the proving grounds. This is the testing grounds. That is the proving ground. This is the showroom. That's the battle room. That's the battle place outside. Okay. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I've not proved them. I haven't tested them. And David put them off. David had enough wisdom to know that ain't going to work for him. That ain't going to work for him. Do you know what David's greatest weapon was? Faith. We're going to get into his armament in just a minute, his weaponry. But his greatest weapon was faith. Your greatest weapon is not how you look and not how you dress, not your bank account, not how well you can talk and how slick you are and how you can manipulate. Your greatest weapon in Christ is faith. In life, it's faith. Don't let anybody, education doesn't matter. Degrees don't matter. None of that stuff matters. It's all part of life, but faith is the key. It's the greatest weapon you can ever have. And I wish pastors would teach more on faith, but they don't. They teach on faith as a novelty. Let me try it again. They teach on faith as a novelty, and it's not a novelty. It's a lifestyle. Faith is a lifestyle. Okay. All right. So here's, he's taking that stuff off. I don't blame him. Take it off. Next verse. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now check this out. He's got a stick. He's got 5 rocks. He's got a bag he's putting them in. And he's got a slingshot. And he's going to go fight a 13-foot dude. Hey, David, you know about Bear and that lion? They must have done something to you, dude, because I don't know about that. Isn't that crazy? Now, to the world, that is absolutely ridiculous, because at the time of battle then, it was armament. It was the coat of mail. It was the shield. It was the helmet. It was the sword, equivalent to our warfare today. And he still was using so-called primitive warfare. And see, that's what the church has done. The church has gone to the modern things of warfare, thinking fancy and new and all these different things. This is how we get the victory. No, honey, it goes right back to the Bible basics of faith. You don't need all that other stuff to be successful. All you need is faith in God. If you don't have any troubles, that's what Shambach said. Man, I love it. And I say it all the time, buddy. I've told you the story. I'm not going to belabor it tonight of how that statement came to pass. But you don't have any troubles. All you need is faith in God. And that's a fact. But think about this. He had a stick. There wasn't nothing magical about the stick. Let's clarify this. It's a stick. It's not a wand. It had a knob on it for one end, which was the size of an orange, and the other had a hook. And the one part was for beating off the animals. The other part was bringing the lambs back. That's what a shepherd's supposed to do from a pulpit, from ministry. We're supposed to love you and pull you back around and then take the stick and beat the bananas out of the wolf. Is that okay? Would you like that? Of course. You want your shepherd to do that. Okay, so he puts them in this bag. This is hilarious. And watch this. He drew near to the Philistine. He went to him. See, faith pursues. Faith makes you battle ready. Faith is not fearful. Faith goes for whatever's out there, the opportunity. It's going to respond, and we need to do that as well. Verse 40, I want you to write this down next to this because it's in my notes. David used what he knew. David used what he knew. See, when you know the Word of God, you'll know your weapons. When you know who you are in Christ, you'll know how to talk. If you don't know who you are, you'll talk like the world. And when you talk like the world, you will lose. You will. Eventually, you may get some gain some ground and some victories here and there, whatever, and gratify your flesh and all that. But at some point, you're going to be a loser. If you speak faith, you'll win. You may get bloodied. You may get scarred. You may get a black eye here and there, but you've been in a battle, but you're going to win that battle. Like they used to always say, the best fight I know is the one you win. Is that right? Nobody wants to lose. All right, so next verse. And the Philistines came on and drew near unto David. Now notice that fear in the enemy is not going to run away from you just because you said you're a man of faith. I have faith today, and you don't wake up and say that and the enemy flees. You wake up and say, I have faith, and he's like, yeah, we'll prove it. Is that right? I'm a believer. Let's find out how much you do believe. And he drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Okay? Notice that the enemy had to have a helper. David didn't. And when the Philistines looked about and he saw David, he had disdained. He disdained him. Now, this is pretty cool. In the Hebrew, it says it looked about. It basically means, check this out now. They're both on this mountain peak together. They're going to come down into the valley. And basically, in the Hebrew, it means to scan. So this guy's 13 feet tall. Little man is down there. He basically did this. Oh, are you serious? You're kidding me. Watch how it progresses. And he had to stay. He couldn't believe it, for he was but a youth. He was ruddy and a fair. In other words, he was a cutie pie. The Hebrew says he's scanned. He looks out. Oh, you're kidding me. This little cute boy, he's so cute. I'm going to hug him and name him George. Yeah, I'm going to love him and name him George. Remember that? He's going to be all mine. Broke him. That's what it was. Oh, my gosh. Imagine David. Yeah, what about it, bro? You know, what they call the little Caesar syndrome, where a guy smaller picks on a bigger guy. He's like, come on, man, bring it on. But David didn't have to do that. He knew who he was. So picture that again. That's how the enemy looks at you. He has disdain for you. All right, next verse. He was a cutie pie. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Now, here's the deal. Dog was the lowest in that time period. Now, today, dogs are our best friend. They eat with us. Some people, they have them in their beds, their rooms. They drive around with them. They get Starbucks special stuff and, you know, ice cream. Just all kinds of crazy stuff happens today with dogs, right? Back then, that wasn't so. They were the lowest. And the fact that he said staves, or talking about his stick, was that they used the sticks to beat the dogs. Chase them off the animals, chase them out of the streets, chase them out of the houses. They didn't like dogs because the dog was a dog. So here he is, the Philistine, big 13-foot dude or so, looking down at this little cutie pie with a stick and a leather pouch, a man bag. Right? He don't know what's in that bag. He just sees a little man bag and a little guy with a stick, you know, like an elf compared to him. Think about it with me now, but he was a cute elf. He's a small guy. And he looks at him and is like, you come to me like I'm a dog? Got him pretty riled up, didn't he? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. That's pretty bad, huh? So basically, you know what curse words? He just cursed them out. Now, what they were back then, I don't know. And you know, what gods they were, I do not know. But he cursed them. Okay? Next verse. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Well, I bet his voice was thundering in that valley. Next verse. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Now, this is really interesting here because watch this challenge. The Philistine, Goliath, cursed him by his gods. David said, in essence, I'm challenging you and I'm going to come against you by my gods. Because the word God there, the God of the armies or the God of Israel, is Elohim. Elohim represents the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God or gods created the heaven and the earth. Meaning the plurality of God, not multiple gods, but the plurality of God's personality. He's the Father, he's the Son, and he's the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity. The Bible makes that very clear. So David is challenging him back, and you have to look in the Hebrew to see this, and he's saying, I'm going to show you by my gods that your gods are going to get whipped up on. Does that make any sense? But you have to be mature to understand that because it's not talking about gods and multiple gods. It's speaking of one God, God Almighty. Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, to be more exact. That's exactly what it is. It's Elohim. Isn't that cool? Whom thou hast defied. So notice what faith is saying. We're using David as faith. Faith is saying, I don't care about you cursing me. It don't make no difference what you say about me. But what you're doing is you're defying God. You're defying my God. You're defying the creator of heaven and earth who made your gods, who are no gods. So David is coming with faith. Again, what is the point here? The point is that when the enemy comes against you and he says all kinds of crazy stuff against you, you take to him and to his face the word of God. Here's what my God has said. Are you here? Not what you say. See, what I say and you say doesn't make a difference to the enemy because the enemy isn't moved by our personal words or whatever we have to say. He's moved by faith. He is. He's scared of faith. He's scared of faith. Listen to this. Am I at 45? Yeah. The word name there. Watch this. I wrote this down for you. Name means the repetition, a reputation and the glory of the Lord. The reputation and the glory of the Lord. And so what he's saying is, here, come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. I'm coming to you in the reputation and the glory of God. I'm coming to you in the victories of the name of God. I'm coming to you on everything that God ever did for man in the form of victory. I'm coming to you in that power. So sickness comes to your life. What do you do with sickness? I'm coming to you in the name that has raised the dead. I'm coming to you in the name that has lifted cancer off of people's body. I'm coming to you today in the name that has opened blinded eyes. I'm coming to you today in the name that has opened deaf ears. You catching it? And that's how faith talks. Well, I don't feel that way. We don't care about your feelings. We care about faith. Someday your feelings will catch up with your faith, but it may not be today. So until it does, keep speaking faith. Well, the reports are this. I believe the report of the Lord. Because in all essence, in all natural reality, David, he's dirt compared to this guy. He's going to crush him, right? It's in the natural. All right, so next verse. This day will the Lord deliver thee into what? Mine hand. And I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. Wow, that's pretty big talking for a little cutie guy. But can I tell you what he's doing? I'm going to stop right there for a second. I got time. Oh my gosh, it's 8 o'clock? Oh. You know what he's doing? Ready? Watch this. He's prophesying victory. Faith prophesies victory. Fear and the devil say, you're going to die. It's over. You got a hangnail. Bad report. Hangnail's going to get affected. You're going to get gangrene. They're going to cut your finger off. They're going to cut your nose off. They're going to cut your... Is anybody here? How many of y'all... They sneeze. They got COVID. You know, or somebody pronounces something over you. It's insanity. You answer it by faith. You say, no, I believe the report of the Lord. I am prophesying victory. Even if there's a natural report that's legitimate. I don't care. I'm prophesying victory. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm going over. I'm not going under. And I got to stop, man. I wanted to get through David, and I just can't get through David. Let me see where I am. Nope. No way. No way, Jose. Okay, got to go. Well, I hope that's helped you out some, built your faith, and gave you some ammunition for tomorrow and the rest of the week, and get by through faith and be victorious. I love you guys. I will see you Sunday. Father, we love you. Thank you for this opportunity of talking about King David, which is the type and shadow of the Lord Jesus, who gives us the victory always through every situation. May we all walk in that victory today through faith. In Jesus' name, amen. See you guys then. Be blessed.